So the work of Christ on the cross, we've seen over the past few weeks, it frees us from the guilt and the power of sin. If you want to go back over that, do go back onto the website and listen through some of the talks that we've been having over the last few weeks that go into that in much, much more detail. But this grace that saves us, it has two effects. Not only does it save us from sin, it opens the padlock. You get the padlock? So the padlock is unlocked. It's unlocked, isn't it, Leah? It's unlocked. But there's another side to this grace as well. It has two effects. Not only does it save us, but it enables us to live a life of righteousness as well. And these are two sides of the same grace that is given to us by the Spirit. When Jesus was raised from the dead, that was evidence that he had won the victory over death. And living a life of righteousness, living a good life, is evidence that the Spirit lives in a Christian. It is the evidence that we are a Christian. It's what gives our faith authenticity. And so when we are thinking through this, we need to remember that our spirits have already gone through death. That was in our passage today. Our spirits have gone through death and into the reality of the resurrection. But our bodies are still lagging behind. Now that promise is not just some distant future. We're unlocked and it just stays like that. Actually, it's more than that. These things can start happening now. The Bible tells us in many different places that growth as a Christian should be expected. In Leviticus, we read, "Be holy because I am holy." Not just when we die, but actually now as well, we can start very gradually to undo the chains that are around. Leah, can you see if we can take one of those chains off? Just a little bit. Lovely. Okay. So we see time and time again through the Bible, Jesus is praying for his disciples, for example, and he prays that they will have this experience in their life. And Paul in Thessalonians, he prays it for them as well, that this will be showing through their life. As a new creation, as a Christian, we are in this kind of transition period, moving from one to the other. Sin is still a reality in our lives. We still live in a fallen world, in a fallen body, but also we can live a life of righteousness because we are a new creation. As Christians, we should be moving forwards in this, towards our resurrection future. We should be seeing that kind of progress. We should be seeing those chains gradually coming undone further and further. In 1 John, we read, "We know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him in the future, for we shall see him. All of those who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." So there's a causal link here. One thing leads to another. We see the future, and it makes changes happen in our lives now as well. And Paul talks about this aim as well. "We've come to obey from your heart, the pattern of teaching that has claimed your allegiance." The gospel has claimed us, and we start to learn how to obey that. We're moving towards a life of righteousness, a life of righteousness that would involve things like becoming meek, gentleness, being patient, governing our tongues, being loving, being joyful, being self-controlled. The chains start to fall away as this is happening. Our motivation for this is not out of fear. We don't try to live a good life and a godly life because we think that God is going to punish us if we're bad. But we acknowledge that we are free from these things, and therefore we are free to live this life as well. So our motivation is not out of fear. It is out of looking at that resurrection. And it's really easy to think of it that it's just, I've got to try really, 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 really hard to do these things. Okay, imagine that there's a person that you really, really struggle with. Okay, whenever you come up against them, you end up getting into an argument with them. You say things that when you go home, you regret. Whenever you're in that situation with them, you always end up being a person that you really don't like very much. And you think, right, I've got to change this. I need to do something about it. So what do you do? Okay, you think, right, before I meet this person, I'm going to put on some really happy music so that I'm in a really positive mood. I'm going to, you know, quote some really nice, thoughtful quotes that I've found from Google that's going to lift my mood before I see them. Maybe that will help. It's a little bit of wishful thinking going on, thinking that I've got the power to change. But of course, we don't have that power to change. I'm sure we've all had situations in our life where we've tried to make that effort and we've just not been able to do it. What I say to my kids at school is if they don't understand something, then they need to be asking for help. If you don't get something, if you can't do it, ask for help. And the same is true for us. We can't make these changes. I can't make myself more patient. I can't make myself love somebody. But I can ask the Spirit to help. Because it's true that only through Christ can we be saved. But it's also true that it is only through Christ that we are sanctified, that we become this righteous person. As Christians, our reality has changed. We are not the same people that we were. We have become unchained. They are unlocked now. And we need to be thinking differently about the way that we live our lives and about who we are as a person. Recognizing this new reality, we have gone from death to life. We have gone from being enemies of God to being friends with God. We've got some things over here that could start coming up on our sheets. All of these kind of things. Recognizing that new reality, the old is dead. We can live this life of righteousness. It is ours to claim. Just like a vine and the branches are linked together, the Spirit flows through. That fruit will be developing. So how can we do this? Well, it's not just through effort. We've already said that our motivation comes from the resurrection and that hope in the future. Christ has done this for us, and that gives us a new resolve, a new commitment. So we should be dwelling on that, thinking it through, watching what is going on regularly, talking about the resurrection, constantly reminding, because we so easily forget. We need to be meeting together to study the scriptures, because we are trying to align ourselves to the mind of God. We study the scriptures alone. We study them together in our home groups. We listen to preaching and talks from different kind of places. Just trying to align ourselves with where God shows that we should be. We meet together in acts of worship and in sharing communion together, because the Holy Spirit works through these different things to help us, to form us into the people that he has created us to be. But it's really easy to presume that it's all going to be easy from now on. If we're a Christian, it should be nice and easy. I'm free, right? The chains are unlocked. There shouldn't be any more temptation. So what happens when I've done these things? I've prayed about this person. I've got together with my home group and I've talked through some strategies. We've looked at biblical passages that show that I should be loving my enemies. And I go and meet this person and I end up in a blazing row with them and saying things that I really wish I hadn't said. How do I feel about myself then? Perhaps I start to wonder whether I really am a Christian. Perhaps I start to wonder whether I've done too much, whether God can ever forgive me for what I've done. I start to think perhaps it's just too big, maybe I'll never change. Because that's not the only thing that's about me. I could talk about what I'm like when I'm in a car. Let's not go there. It's just too much, it's too big. It cannot be solved. And so we end up with this self-fulfilling prophecy. But it's really important that we remember that we are still surrounded by sin. The chains that are binding us together, they're not just chains that are on the outside, like on Andy here. The chains that we have that bind us to this sinful world, they're our very flesh. It is us that is binding us to this world. And it's hard to get a perspective. Leah, can you just put your hands over your dad's eyes for me? Because actually we can't see how God sees the world. We are blinded to it. And getting that kind of perspective is really difficult. It is hard to change. But we need to remember that we are living in this sinful world. I think she's enjoying that a bit too much. We shouldn't be disillusioned by the sin that we see around us and within us, or let us turn that away from God. We shouldn't be using it as an excuse to give up and just to give in to sin and to stay immature forever, because it's just easier. What we should be doing is expecting that our life as a Christian is going to be one of conflict. When we become a Christian, we stop struggling against God. But actually, we start struggling within ourselves now. There's a passage in Galatians 5, and it describes it like this. For the flesh desires what is contrary, that means the opposite, to the spirit. And the spirit, what is opposite to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. We live lives of conflict. When Paul is talking to Timothy, he speaks about fighting the good fight. Okay, this is the battle that we've got going on here. The chains are still unlocked, but they are still around us. And until we die, they will still be around us. But they are unlocked, and they don't have that control over us anymore. The Bible is really clear that actually we should be seeing progress. The new nature will win in the end. Maybe it will be slow, but it will win. And at the end of time, all of those chains will disappear. And we will be completely free. We will actually catch up to the reality of who we really are in Christ. We are resurrected, glorified human beings in Christ. And even though our experience might tell us something different to that, the Bible says that that is true. Our nature, our old nature, will still be calling us every day, every hour, sometimes every minute. It still acts as if it is in control. It acts as if those chains are going to be around us for eternity. It tries to define who we are. It seduces us and pretends that the life that it has promised us is so much better than what God has to offer. It lies to us. That sin still demands our obedience. But the difference is that we now don't have to obey when it calls us. It's not our master. We are dead to sin. So we live differently because as Christians we are different. Behavior is linked to identity. And if our identity has changed, our behavior will change as well. And every victory over temptation that we do, every wrap of the chain that unravels in our lives, every step towards living a better godly life is a step closer to catching up with that reality of who we really are in Christ. And because we don't do this ourselves, it is only through Christ. Every time that happens, we are also glorifying God. The battle for righteousness. It shows us that sin is no longer in control. Jesus has the authority. Sin doesn't have the last word. That last word is firmly with Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have unlocked the chains that bind us, and that lock can never be locked again. We pray that during our lives here on earth, we will allow you to gradually remove those chains from us so that we can become the people that you have called us to be, people who will be in this new creation and will be holy. And if we still feel that we are chained, we pray that you will show us how we can be unlocking those and what we can be doing to remove them from us. In Jesus' name, amen.